in return. And how many of you are grandparents? How many of you are parents? Okay, now, a parent, when they see that newborn child and your eyes light up and you are just overwhelmed with joy, I mean, that's awesome. But you know when you're a grandparent and you don't have to clean up the baby just yet because mama and daddy are going to be doing that, the joy is exponentially greater. Okay. Who gave you that gift of that child or that grandchild? God. How generous He is with His gifts. How bountifully He provides us with blessings of joy and celebration. And along with that, you know, there's the other stuff. There's the diapers that need to be changed. There's the 2 o'clock in the morning feeding or something close to that, akin to that, or all times, every 4 hour feeding for the first few months while the child is maturing. And then when they turn about 16 or 17, you wonder if they've actually matured yet, because it may not be a 2 o'clock feeding, it's a 2 o'clock where are they? But there's a joy in being blessed with having, you know, sometimes the jolt of fear and concern for where they are and what's going on. But there's also that celebration of joy. And that's generosity straight from God. In generosity is the key word for 2 Corinthians. Paul speaks not of the generosity of rich people who give from their affluence what they don't need, but of the extreme poverty of the Christians in Macedonia, which has overflowed into a wealth of generosity. Of course, generosity does not depend on the size of your bank accounts. It depends on your readiness to open our hearts for the needs of others and to share what we have with them, considering how generously Jesus shared His life with ours. May God help us to think generously about our giving. Paul, in this letter to the church at Corinth, they have made a pledge and a promise to support the church, the new church, the growing church, the Christian church, the followers of the way in Jerusalem, because they're trying to feed, they're trying to clothe, they're trying to bring people into this Christian faith. And they need support. And the churches of Macedonia have made a pledge that they're going to support the church with funds. Well, now it comes time where they're expected to be able to deliver the promised funds or gifts. I mean, it could have been material as well as foodstuffs and stuff, not just money. And it looks like they're going to fall short. Well, Paul is encouraging them. And we all know from the last few weeks, what is encouraged? The French word for put the heart in it. So Paul is trying to address the church and rekindle in them the spirit of generosity. And as he says here, the point is that the one who sows sparingly, and another word, stingily. Ever heard of the phrase stingy? And this is in no way, listen, don't, I do not preach about raising funds, because it needs to be from your generous and your own volition, your decision. I'm speaking here about what Paul is speaking about to these people to encourage them that as they are blessed, they can in turn bless and pay forward, because we can never pay back God for what we've been blessed with. We can't outgive Him. But what we can do is generously pay forward that from which he's given us. The point is here is the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You have heard again and again, Old Testament, as you sow, you will reap. If there's a generous giving that you give, and generous doesn't mean amount. Generous means from what you have, are you giving generously? Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's talent. Some things you and others give to this church cannot have a price tag attached to it. It's beyond price. It's priceless. Each one of you, this is verse 7, each one of you must give as you have made up your mind. That is between you and God. Bless you. No comment. As do we all. As do we all. Oh, Bob, you are great. But the second part of verse 7 is what really strikes home. The first part is each of you must give as you have made up your mind. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. We don't pass the plate twice. We don't keep passing the plate until it's got enough in it. We pass the plate once. You out of faith determine what you're going to give. You out of faith choose to make the pledge of what you can give out of the generosity of the gift that God has given to you. Stewardship, yes, that is stewardship. But that stewardship is between you and your God. You're the one who knows how full your storehouse is. You're the one who knows what you can give. You're the one who knows what you can give cheerfully, with a grateful heart. And God is able to provide you with every blessing, what? In abundance. Do you see that sunshine out there today? Oh, my goodness. You walk out, and even if it's 49 degrees or 50 degrees, it's a lovely day. All you have to do is put a different jacket on, maybe, and maybe a scarf, maybe a hat, maybe some gloves. But it's still a glorious day, and we get that from him. Verse 9, as it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. God's righteousness endures forever. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. Bless you. For the rendering of his ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but overflows with many thanksgiving to God. Paul is urging the church at Corinth to give generously. And he uses the phrase of seeds and sowers because the church of Corinth is not a metropolis that is supported and funded hugely by commerce and trade. These are farmers. This is an agricultural center. So Paul is speaking in terms that farmers know and understand. As you richly provide and plant and sow, your expectation is that you'll have a bountiful harvest. But if you don't sow enough seeds, plant enough seeds, it could be a great growing season. It could be a wonderful harvest. But because you didn't plant enough, the harvest will turn out to be only proportioned to what you have planted. The people in Corinth knew that. And they had pledged to support the church in Jerusalem. And Paul is reminding them that as they pledged and as they give, they're going to reap. And not, think about this. This agrarian society is going to collect their foodstuffs and their money and they're going to send it to Jerusalem. There's no comment in there about how Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, is going to pay them back. That's the other piece of generosity. When you give freely, you're not expecting anything back in return. Otherwise, it's like an investment. And it's monetary. But what they're giving may have been some funds, but they're giving it with no expectation of getting anything back other than the joy of giving. And they're going to get the joy of giving back from whom? The people in Jerusalem? The people in Jerusalem might send them a nice letter, but we have no record of that. We have no record of how they received it. We only have a record of how Paul encouraged the people in Corinth to give. He didn't say, give till it hurts. He said, give generously. He put it on them to determine where their level of generosity stood. You look at the back of the bulletin and you look at the balance for the church's budget. And Warren and others have spoken a number of times on, you know, how we need to be encouraged to contribute to and support the church. That's there before you. Each of you is entitled to make that decision. And I know there are people who have been giving, are giving. Thanks. Because you're not giving to me. We're giving to God. You can talk about the tithes that are there as an Old Testament requirement. Tithe being a 10%. Paul never even mentions that. He doesn't say give 10%. He doesn't put a limit on it. He doesn't put a bottom limit. He doesn't put a top limit. He says you decide. And out of the generosity of your gift, the expectation and anticipation you should have is that you'll get that back magnified in the joyfulness, the thankfulness, the celebration of God. One, because you have done what you could, what you felt you needed to, for his work. And that's what it's all about. Whatever your gifts and talents are, whether you play a flute, wonderfully, I might add. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What was that? Hallelujah! I mean, people can say yes, but I mean, hallelujah just rings so much neater. Or an amen, either one. But we're not Baptists. I'm kidding. I heard those laughs. But the point is that we give generously. And, you know, we lift up our prayers. How many of you celebrated a Thanksgiving celebration with family? Loved ones. Family. Loved ones. Friends, even. How many of you pushed away from the table still hungry? How bountiful has God blessed us? How generously has God blessed us? And not because of the food at that table. Not just because of the food at that table. I mean, you look across and you see nephews that you haven't seen for a while, or nieces, or a sister, a sibling, and you see these grandkids and, you know, great nephews and nieces. And, you know, you talk about, where's the blessing in that? Oh, goodness. The food's great, but the fellowship with family, the opportunity to spend time with family, that's priceless. So So as you contemplate, as we've ended our pledge, and in the envelopes today, there are pledge cards there. So, you know, if you haven't filled out your pledge card, and sometimes, you know, not everybody is here at church when the pledge cards were put out. So there's another opportunity to fill out the pledge card and place that in the offering plate. And think about how you've been blessed. And it's your decision from your heart. May God bless you as He has, as He does, as He will. And with a joyful heart, be a joyful giver. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because the last verse Verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We can never outgive Him, but we can try. Shalom.